Amen. Let's go to John 3:16, please. How many of you remember which translation I'm using this year? The Voice, yes. That's the one he told me to use this year. You ready? For God expressed his love for the world in this way. He gave his only Son, that whosoever believes in him will not face everlasting destruction, but will have everlasting life. Here's the point. God didn't send his Son into the world to judge it. Instead, he is here to rescue a world headed towards certain destruction. Folks, every time I read that, I keep thinking that if we don't do our job, the world gets those people in the world are going to suffer certain destruction. And I don't want anyone to become destroyed because I didn't do my part. We have to do our part because that's where the world is headed. And we cannot enjoy the ride or be happy that it's happening to them. Jesus died for them. Amen? Let's go to 1 Peter 1. I'm going to share some verses out of, I think I'm going to be primarily in the Amplified Bible tonight. I have to start with at verse 1. It says, Peter, an apostle, a special messenger of Jesus Christ, writing to the elect exiles. I thought about that a minute. You're exiled, but you're still the elect. To the elect exiles of the dispersion scattered, sowed abroad. I like that. Sowed abroad. I remember Pastor Clinton teaching that the disciples had to go through persecution so they would be scattered abroad. He said once if they would have just gone like they were supposed to, maybe they wouldn't have suffered so much. But they had to get into all the world. And they were in Pontia, Galatia, Cappadocia, Asia, and that other place, Bithynia, who were chosen and foreknown by God the Father, and consecrated, sanctified, made holy by the Spirit to be obedient to Jesus Christ the Messiah and to be sprinkled with his blood. May grace, spiritual blessing, and peace be given you in increasing abundance, that spiritual peace to be realized in and through Christ's freedom from fears, agitating passions, and moral conflicts. I just take note of that. Even though they were chosen, foreknown by God the Father, and consecrated, sanctified, they were made holy, and they were obedient, they were still experiencing fears, plural, fears, agitating passions, plural, and moral conflicts, again, plural. There were so many things happening among them that they had opportunity for fear, to get agitated, and to be immoral, just like it is right now. Verse 3, praised, honored, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Messiah. By his boundless mercy, we have been born again to an ever-living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, born anew into an inheritance which is beyond the reach of change and decay, imperishable. Nothing can diminish our heritage, our inheritance. Unsullied and unfading, reserved in heaven for you who are being guarded, garrisoned. That means you're being fortified like a whole army troop of soldiers all around you by God's power. How? Through your faith. Till you fully inherit that final salvation that is ready to be revealed for you in the last time. You should be exceedingly glad on this account, though now for a little while you may be distressed by trials and suffer temptations, so that the genuineness of your faith may be tested. Understand something here, folks. God's not allowing these things to happen to test you. He's allowing them to happen to give you an opportunity to prove the genuineness of your faith. I'm walking through an opportunity right now that proves my faith. I believe I can do all things through Jesus Christ, who strengthens me, regardless of what may be going on in my body or around me. I fully believe that. And I don't care what happens. If there's breath in my body, I'm going to do what I'm supposed to do, unless God tells me to do something different. But it's there to prove that your faith is genuine. Not, that means not counterfeit. It means that your faith is authentic, that it's real. How many of you want that kind of faith? See, it says, your faith, which is infinitely more precious than the perishable gold, which is tested and purified by fire. This proving of your faith is intended to redound to you. That means to come back to you, or to reflect on you, or to honor you, your praise and glory and honor when Jesus Christ, the Messiah, the Anointed One, is revealed. Without having seen him, you love him. Though you do not even now see him, you believe in him and exalt and thrill with an inexpressible and glorious, triumphant, heavenly joy. See, we need to understand, folks, that we need to understand as individuals that our individual faith is genuine. Because if you don't believe it's genuine, then it won't hold up. See, what happens is when we believe that, we have a different perspective about things. Let me give you an example. 2 weeks from now, the Atlanta Atlanta Falcons are going to be playing New England Patriots. No. No. They're going to be playing the New England Patriots. And everybody calls it the or the big game, right? Now, if Atlanta was playing New England in a preseason game, nobody would watch it. But the same two teams are playing in what man calls the Super Bowl. Players put more pressure on themselves. Coaches put more pressure on themselves and on their players. Houses get divided with people rooting for their own team. They don't do that during the preseason, but this is the big game. The game didn't change. Your attitude about it did. And that's what trials and things come, to make you look at them differently. See, I could say I'm going through this evil report. No, they're called withdrawal symptoms. Okay, I'm not going to make any more out of them than they are. But if I get caught up in agitating passions, I'll be home calling everybody I know and asking them to pray for me. Poor pitiful little me. Well, big me. But it's our attitude. Do you think there would be any stories in the Bible about David and Goliath if Goliath were 5'2" and about 125 pounds soaking wet? No. But because he was almost 10 feet tall, they call that a... And David had a big victory. If he punched Goliath out and Goliath was a little, it wouldn't be considered a big victory, even though he did the same thing. So we have to stop making mental pictures of things and taking it out of context. Out of what context? Nothing should be able to overpower your faith. If you understand who you are and you go through the trials that prove your faith, you need to welcome them, because you have an opportunity to prove that what God said trumps anything else that anybody else says. Period. That's the mindset that we have to develop, because that's what's needed for us to get the job done. And I'll tell you another reason why it's important. If you don't believe that your faith is sufficient, you won't do anything. And James 2:26 says, in the Voice translation, it says, removing action from faith is like removing breath from a body. All you have left is a corpse. And I don't believe that you want your faith to turn into a corpse. But if you don't believe your faith can handle something, you won't do anything, and your faith will die, because it will be alone. No good works of obedience, because you didn't think it could do it. Look at Mark 16. Amplified Bible, starting with verse 14, or I think this just says verse 14. Afterwards, he, being Jesus, appeared to the 11, the apostles themselves, as they reclined at table. That means they were kicking back and they were eating. They're like all of us after Thanksgiving dinner, just leaning back. Yeah, that was good. Telling all your good stories. And he reproved, listen to this. He reproved and reproached them for their unbelief, their lack of faith, and their hardness of heart, because they had refused to believe those who had seen him and looked at him attentively after he had risen from the dead. It says, the Message Bible says he took them to task most severely because of their stubborn unbelief, because of their lack of faith. That means he got on their case, folks, and it wasn't pretty. My question is, how did Jesus know? Well, if they had faith, they'd have been active. They'd have been doing something. They'd have been doing the things that he had said to them up until that point. But obviously, they were not, because if they were doing the things he told them to, why would he take them to task for not having any faith? So Jesus must take acting in faith very seriously. And it's obvious that it's something he expects from those who say they follow him, from those who say, he's my Lord. Is he your Lord? So God gives us opportunities, folks, to prove that our faith is the real deal, that our faith is not counterfeit, that our faith is authentic, that our faith is full of life, full of life. Jesus expects that we have downright faith, because when we learned earlier the definition of downright: thorough, absolute, out and out, complete and total, direct and straightforward. That's how our faith needs to be. Faith says it's not like that. It's what God said. Done. Done. There's like that. There was a commercial years ago about a drug rehab place, and he said, they said, if you have a problem, said, you don't sit down and discuss it. You have a problem, you go get help. It's that simple, and that's the way we need to look at this thing. We have faith, period. Doesn't matter what comes along. There's nothing to negotiate. I'm not negotiating with these symptoms. I'm not doing that. You know why? I could lose the negotiation. I have the authority to command. So why negotiate when you can command? That's one of the problems that folks have with children. I didn't negotiate with my children. I gave them commands. Period. I remember once their mother wouldn't take them to the store because she said she couldn't catch them. And I'm like, what do you mean you couldn't catch them? She said, well, they start running. When I tell them to stop, they keep going, and I can't catch them. I said, you run fast, you can catch them. I said, I don't run after them. She said, what do you do? I say, stop, come back over here. They don't keep running? No. Well, how can they listen to you? They know I mean it. When you know your faith is genuine, when you address the enemy, he knows you mean it. He knows you know what you're talking about. And he knows he better get to stepping instead of the other way around. And too many times it's been the other way around. So I'm going to give you two instances, then I'm going to let you go home. But I'm going to give you two instances where Jesus operated in downright faith, even though there was evidence to the contrary, even though he had every right in the natural to do something differently, he didn't. And he's, Bible says he was here as our example, so we should follow in his steps. And then I'm going to tie in the scripture that we've been referencing the last couple of weeks. So let's go to Luke 22. This is just one of the things that I do. Like I say, I'm just being transparent with you. Because I know that things are trying to happen. When I see words moving, I am deliberately letting my iPad move around so my eyes have to follow, and I'm not letting myself get dizzy or anything because of it. You know, because I can't move around. I gotta stay. Luke 22, verse 31. Jesus is speaking with Peter, and he's like, Simon, Simon, Peter, listen. Satan has asked excessively that all of you be given up to him out of the power and keeping of God, that he might sift all of you like grain. Now, he should have known it didn't work with Job, and it's not going to work here. He said, but I have prayed especially for you, Peter, that your own faith may not fail. And when you yourself have turned again, strengthen and establish your brethren. Now, I would expect that the first words out of Peter's mouth would have been, thank you, Lord. And Simon Peter said to him, I am ready to go with you both to prison and to death. But Jesus said, I tell you, Peter, before a single cock shall crow this day, you will three times utterly deny that you know me. Now, utter means to make a public statement. Utterly means to make an emphatic public statement, to remove any doubt whatsoever. So Jesus said, before the cock crows, three times you're going to make it clear to everybody around that you don't even know me. Now, but think about this. Satan wanted to be able to sift Peter, to get Peter separated, get all of them, but especially Peter, separated from out of the power and keeping of God. And it stunned me when I didn't read what Jesus said. No, you can't touch him. Jesus responded, but I have prayed for you that your faith fails not. He said that knowing that Peter was going to utterly deny him later on that evening. And he never addressed it. He just told Peter that was it, what he was going to do, and that was it. But he knew that. Does he rebuke Peter? No. Does he abandon Peter? No. Does he post on social media that Peter's a traitor and you can't trust him? No. What does he do? See, that's what people would have done. Peter would have been all over Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, all over the place, called all kinds of names. Peter, that so-called apostle. Okay. But what does Jesus do? He makes a statement of faith. He says, when you have turned again, strengthen and establish your brother. So he was telling Peter, I've prayed that your faith won't fail. But you are going to go through something. When you go through it, strengthen the brethren. Instead of vengeance or retribution, he chose restoration and trust. Now let's go back to Mark 16. And finish up the account I shared earlier about him reproaching them for their unbelief, their lack of faith. Now these guys were with Jesus for 3.5 years. Jesus taught them everything God told him to teach them. So they had to be fully equipped because God always does a thorough job. They saw Jesus operating under the anointing of God. They saw all of the miraculous works. They saw him get arrested. They saw him get crucified. They saw him get buried. They saw the empty tomb. They even saw him after he was risen. They sat and talked with him. They had food together. How dare they not have faith? Could have been Jesus' response. How dare they? In the natural, he had every right. He could have been walking around. They're still not taking God seriously. See, first they embarrass me. Because they can't cast this demon out of this little boy in front of all those people. Got the guy even saying, if I can do it, like I can't do it. Think about that. You know, then not only that, then the people that are doing what I said, they want to call down fire on them because they're doing it instead. Those people are doing it and they're not. And so they're jealous of the people. Let's not forget Thomas. Unless I see the nail prints in his hand and thrust my hand in his side, yeah, I got something to thrust all right. Okay. No, but Jesus did not do that. Instead, he said to them, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. Just get finished blasting them for their lack of faith, then giving them the responsibility of saving the whole world by going around preaching the gospel. How did he know that they would do that? Why wouldn't he just get another bunch that he could trust? Because Jesus had faith in God. That's why he told us to do the same thing. He said over in Mark, have faith in God. He had faith in God. He had faith because he said he only says the things that his father told him to say. He only does the things that his father told him to do, that he saw his father do. So because of that, he knew if he did exactly what he heard and exactly what he saw, he was going to get the results. And there was no question. He knew what Peter was destined to do, so it did not matter that Peter was going to deny him. Didn't matter at all. He still gave Peter a very important assignment. Strengthen the brethren. See, just like he knew Peter was going to deny him, he also knew Peter was going to be very instrumental in starting the church, the early church. You don't know what someone's potential is. You don't even know what your potential is. That's another reason why you need faith. You're going to be, because you're put in places in which you've had no formal training. There were no public speaking classes that these guys could have gone to. As a matter of fact, referring to Peter, it says when they saw that they were unlearned men. So they figured they ain't got any sense. And they talking like this, they had to have been with Jesus. I mean, like that's the only way. Same folks that want to kill him, they had to have been with him. There's no way. And that's the way the world works. There's no way you can do those things, Diane, unless you've been with Jesus. There's no way. But it's not important for me to know that about you. You have to know that about you. And you have to believe that about you. And you have to allow yourself to go through the fire and be proved genuine. Of course, some folks say genuine. You have genuine faith. And there's nothing wrong with that. See, Jesus, instead of disowning those that he knew were going to miss it, he gave them responsibility. He believed the best of them. See, God told me to use those two accounts because they're dealing with people, and people seem to be our issue. It's amazing that we will tolerate stuff from the enemy, but we won't tolerate our brother or our sister. We need to think about that. We need to think about that. But we're people of faith. I'm not going to have anything to do with them again. Oh, no. Hurt me once, shame on you. Hurt me twice, shame on me. I ain't going to be no fool now. No. How many times did they deny you? Okay, they said something you didn't like. So what? Where in the Word does it say, love your neighbor as thyself, unless they say something you don't like? Where does it say that? It doesn't. Where does it say that someone makes them, if they miss it, and you're never going to give them another chance? That's not choosing to believe the best of everybody. And all of us are guilty of that at some time or another. They say, well, it was a judgment call. Okay, so now we moved over into judging folks. Instead of listening inside and finding out what the Holy Ghost wants you to do. It may be the most unlikely person. Myself, Pastor Ed, we've all been in a position where we're considered the most unlikely person. But we believe that our faith can take us through anything. So we don't have any issues accepting assignments because it's not our strength anyway. Either we believe that or we don't. But downright faith will believe it. Downright faith wants the opportunity to prove that it's real. See, in both of those instances, Jesus' faith in God superseded the actions of the people that were involved. And he was showing us something. You know someone's going to turn their back on you and you give them that important assignment anyway, because they're the right person for the job, period. Besides, you're not going to be there anyway. And then you get to think about this. Not only does Jesus have to give him that responsibility, but now he has to go to the cross and die for him, knowing that Peter's going to deny him, and knowing that all the people are going to abandon him. He dies for them anyway. and goes and sits on the right hand of the Father and intercedes for us. How can we not operate in faith? We have the example. So the two reasons that Jesus was able to do that is, one, he had faith in God, and the second is, he loved them. And because he loved them, he endured long and was patient and kind. A couple of times he said it. How long do I have to put up with you? But he stayed put. And he tolerated. And he kept telling them what they needed to do and telling them what they needed to do. Never reminding them of what they didn't do. And he could have. Another one just popped in. He could have said to them, look, I tell them, go and feed the people. People have been out there for a long time listening to me. I'd say, just feed the people. And they start talking about, we only got two fish and a few loaves. I said, feed them. You say, okay. And just start going like this. What would have happened? Food would have appeared. How do you know that? Because that's what happened. But they went back talking about what they didn't have. How many times, you don't have to raise your hand, just think about it, how many times you know it was the Holy Ghost that gave you an assignment. You know that, but you didn't do it because you thought about what you didn't have. There are places he's told some of you to go, and you're thinking about, how am I going to get the money for a plane ticket? He didn't say go unless you don't have the money. He said, go. And you say, okay. And you start packing. Start making your reservations. What? God said, go. How are you going to get there? That's not my responsibility. He told me to go. He has to provide the means for me to do it. Now, that doesn't mean you go out and you write faith checks. Okay. It means you trust God. You believe God. God told Deacon Phyllis and I, you know, to go to Greece. So we're going to Greece. We said yes. We went. We made the reservations. We signed up. Money started coming in. Money started coming. She called me and said, something happened with her retirement fund with the UFT. The big check came. Just, she's retired. But because even though she's retired, she's still under contract, so whatever they get, she gets. Right into the bank for the Greece account. Just like that. We're not special. He didn't do that because we were special people. He did it because we were faith people. We believed what we said. Or I should say, we believed what he said. And because we repeated what he said, since he said it, and if we believed he said it, then we believed it when we said it. And because we believed it when we said it, that thing had to come in. Had to. See, when you get to that point, you have a different perspective about things, as I shared earlier. See, when you have these qualities, when you add to your faith patience, long-suffering, goodness, moral excellence, brotherly kindness, godly love. It's an unbeatable combination. And it guarantees that you'll never stumble or fall. It guarantees it. It guarantees that you'll come into, how does the Bible put it, the full understanding of who you are, of who he is. You don't want to go around with what I call iffy faith. Maybe, well, I guess if God said it, I guess it'll come. What do you mean you guess? You need a spiritual smack in the head. Come on, get it on nice and tight. God said it. That should settle it. Stop asking for confirmation. Jesus said his sheep know his voice. So the only question you have to ask yourself is, am I his sheep? See, when all is said and done, after the trials, after the fire, after all this stuff happens, and you stand strong in faith, everybody will absolutely, forget about everybody, you will absolutely know that your faith will hold up. Will. Put some, I got some tires, new tires will put on the edge. And, you know, everyone was, they were telling me how great these tires were and how they corner and all that was fine. But when I put them on the car, when they put them on the car, and I'm doing 60 miles an hour, 60, 65, and I'm going around a curve, and that puppy stays right in the lane, I know they're the real deal. I'm not going to find out if they're the real deal by staying in the right lane doing 20 miles an hour with the lights flashing. Talking to everybody how great my tires are, but never letting them do what they're designed to do. They said they're great in the rain, but when it rains, she's not going out in the rain, no. No, I'm going out there. I'm believing they're going to do what they're supposed to do. Period. So, well, that's natural faith. I'm just giving it to you as a principle, because the principle is the same. Why should I believe Pirelli and not God? The only reason those Pirellis were there because somebody listened to God and came up with that design. I mean, that's, see, either way it goes back to God. But we have to get to the place, folks, where we start looking at these things, as Pastor Clinton used to say, practically, and understand that when you allow your faith to be proven, your perspective about things will change. It will change. And you won't see yourself as not knowing what to do or not knowing what you're going to do. You won't even see yourself hoping that everything comes out. You'll know. You'll know. And that's where we need to be. We know our faith is the real deal. We know it. So when we speak to the mall, we know it's coming. We know the first building coming is the Sears building. We know that $80,000 is coming in each week. We know we have the singers and the musicians. We know that the people are coming. We know it. How do you know it? Because God said so. What proof do you have? God said so. But it doesn't look like it. God said so. He didn't say it was going to look like it when they were coming. He said they were going to come. See, look like you're coming doesn't mean coming. It looked like those blood clots were going to go to my heart and take me out. They didn't. Why? God said no. They're coming. The people. Why? God said yes. You know these things, and then we act like we know it. I mean, I'm just looking at what I have down here says other miscellaneous notes to see if there was anything else I wanted to share that I needed to share with you tonight. I'm going to say this and I'm going to quit. Forget about the reputation, the track record of your adversary. They told David, you can't beat this man. You're only a kid. He'd been killing people since he was a kid. But he had never come across David. Never come across him. Who cares if the team's undefeated? They hadn't played us yet. That needs to be our attitude, folks. We can do all things through Christ who strengthens us. Why? Because he said so. My God shall supply all your need. Why? Because he said so. He's given us power over all the power of the enemy. The enemy, that means the enemy has to listen to us when we speak in our authority because God said so. And we have faith in God. Praise the Lord, I'm done. Father, we thank you. We give you the glory, we give you the honor, we give you the praise, Lord. Thank you for sharing your word with us this evening, and thank you for causing us to understand that we have to allow our faith to go through the fire and be proven to be genuine. By doing that, Father, we're not just giving faith lip service. We're acting like we really believe this because we do. We do not want our faith to die. We want our faith to be full of life. And in order for it to be full of life, it has to be accompanied by what one translation calls good works of obedience. Thank you for bringing to our attention every opportunity that we have to step out of faith, to step out of love, to step out of patience, to step out of moral excellence. And as you uncover them, we will correct them. Because we're finished with stumbling and falling. The time we spend getting up and dusting off, we could be advancing further advancing your kingdom. We thank you, Lord, for the lives that are going to be impacted because we get it. And we thank you, Lord, in Jesus' name, for all of your exceedingly great and precious promises. We believe them all. Because you said so. And that's all the proof we need. We give you all the glory, honor, and praise, like I said earlier, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen.